Inside on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska. It's realestateconcepts.net. And Iowa Computer Repair. You want your computer to work? That's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. We're in studio with this. We took that little break to kind of reset because now we're going to be talking with Di Findley about what the Iowa Caregivers Association is today versus being a support group in its early days 25 years ago, and what needs to be perhaps done here in the state of Iowa to uplift these wonderful people that go about the task of direct caregiving to individuals who can't care for themselves. Di, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Yep.
So, okay. It was started out as a support group for caregivers. You were a CNA, or now we call them CNAs, Certified Nursing Assistant. We used to call them nurses' aides, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in the day. And now there's even an educational requirement to become a nursing assistant or a CNA. Is that right?
Well, yeah, when I started out, there wasn't any kind of training standards. You're on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's been requirements for federal mandated requirements for CNAs in nursing homes, but there isn't really any standardized, competency-based, consistent, state-recognized training for people who work in all these different settings, so that it's portable.
I see.
And we'll follow them from, you know, one setting to another, and oftentimes it really creates more hardship. It will create hardship on employers and the workers themselves because, you know, many of the nursing homes are now, you know, multi-level care types of facilities. So it makes it difficult for people to move between those different levels of care.
What you're saying is that if I go to DMAC, for example, and I get my hours in to become a certified nursing assistant, a CNA, those skills or that training or that professionalism doesn't transcend maybe to other types of caregiving? Is that what we're talking about?
Right. And I mean, and there are so many gray areas, but if you left the nursing home and went to work for a public health entity or a home health agency, the agency may actually require that you be a CNA. But then once you work in that agency for a couple of years and haven't worked at least 8 hours in a nursing facility, you lose your eligibility to work in a nursing home ever
again. So you lose your certification.
Yeah, some argue. Well, yes, you lose your eligibility to work, your status as certified.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, I did not know that. Di Findley, ladies and gentlemen, is who we're talking to. All right, so what started out as this support group has morphed now into a real call, from what I understand, Di, to professionalize the business of direct caregiving. Is that accurate?
Well, that's part of it. And I think, you know, if I reflect back on, you know, 25 years ago and how things have changed today, I think I mentioned to you during the break, things are a lot worse now than they ever were before. And part of that is just sheer demographics.
Yes.
And so used to people would leave their jobs, their high turnover, and that's still a problem. People leave the jobs at, you know, a 60-70% turnover rate every year. And used to, they would just go down the street, you know, for another, you know, a few cents more an hour.
Right.
But today, there's actually a people shortage. You know, this widening gap of those of us who are reaching that point where we might need some assistance, and the number of people who are actually available to fill those jobs, the people who traditionally fill those jobs, women between 25 and, you know, 40-some years old. Conditions have, I think, declined pretty dramatically in this area, and we did a series of listening sessions in 2014 and 15 with employers across all different settings just to find out what are you really experiencing out there in the way of finding and keeping people in these jobs. And it's pretty daunting. I mean, it's taking them much longer to fill vacancies. The people are, one of their biggest barriers or challenges is just not having qualified applicants that show up on their doorstep.
Right.
So I don't know that there's anyone in our communities who should not be concerned about these issues, because I think before we were always just thinking about serving the direct care workers, but now we're thinking a lot more about the impact of not doing that.
Not caring for the,
right,
for the people that need care.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it translates into, and it's hard for people, I think, to get their heads around access and the workforce. If you don't have the workforce, people don't have access to the care and supportive services they need.
I think one of the stunning things that just came to mind, Di, is let's say, just talk, for example. For example, there is a nursing home, let's just say, and it has 100 patients in it. And those 100 people are serviced by 6 direct caregivers in the evening shift, for example. But if you don't have 6 people to care for these 100 people in the facility, those 100 people still need care. And so the reality is something falls through the cracks. Either the care isn't there,
yeah,
or, you know, because there aren't people to do the care. That's stunning. When you put it in that, you go, wow, yeah, those people ain't going anyplace. They're in that facility.
Yeah.
And if there's nobody to care for them, what happens?
Yeah, well,
sad,
you have a diminished,
it?
Yeah, diminished quality, and people are just not getting the services they need. Or, and it's not just nursing homes. I mean,
right,
we have to think, you know, home care and all these other settings as well. Family caregivers. I mean, we've talked to numerous, you know, family caregivers who have shared their stories about not being able to find people to come in and assist their loved ones to kind of fill those gaps.
Right.
And one in particular, you know, the story is like, I don't know, 50 different home care aides in like a year's time. It was some ridiculous story, but if you can you imagine that? And this was for his mother who had dementia, and so, you know, in those cases, consistency is really important, you know, to that person's care. Yeah, so we're hearing those kinds of horror stories. We get calls from people who are quadriplegic, who cannot find people to come in and assist them, and, you know, they fear they may have to go into an institutional setting. So,
Di Findley, ladies and gentlemen, of the Iowa Caregivers Association, a good friend of yours and mine is John Hale, and with the Hale Group in Ankeny. Isn't he? He's a great man.
He is.
And, you know, John was on our program not too very long ago talking about caregiving and saying that as of today, and this was a year ago, he said we are 75,000 caregivers short of a full complement of caring for those who need care in our facilities and institutions and at home. That's a stunning number. The stunning number. How, because you're in this world of direct caregiving, I want to ask you, and we don't do politics on the Business News Hour. We stay strictly with business. And this is the business of life. Recently, April 1st of a year ago, over a year ago, we went to managed care opportunities here in Iowa. And there are 3 managed care organizations out there that have taken the place of the Department of Human Services. And they're now running our Medicare and Medicaid opportunities out there. What do you hear? What's going on? Any news from the caregiving staff that you talk with all the time?
Well, we hear, you know, some of the same stories that others are hearing. Providers are not receiving payments, or they're slow in receiving payments. And I think one of the more telling things about this workforce is that even when the services are not being covered, the direct care workers step up to the plate because they care so much about the people they serve. They're there whether they're getting paid or not.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're, even though they may not be getting paid, they're still providing the care. Wow.
Yeah.
It is a stunning profession, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things I know that we had talked about some time ago, Di, was your request, your hope that somehow certified nursing assistants or direct caregivers would somehow be professionalized, be recognized for all of those things that they do. How's that going?
Well, let me tell you. I think what is sometimes a little slow, One of the things I'm probably most proud of since starting the organization is that we have kind of we're in it for the long haul, and a lot of what we've been trying to do is really systemic kinds of changes. And it makes it challenging because when you change one thing here, you know, it changes five or six other things over here, whether you're talking about regulatory kinds of things or, you know, whatever. But those kinds of systems changes do occur. You know, just the wheels of change turn way, way, way too slowly sometimes. I keep thinking with the urgency, you know, of these issues that maybe things will speed up a little bit more. And we have had legislation that proposes, and we've been doing the work, whether the legislation and the infrastructure is there at the state level or not. But there is a need, I would say, to have more consistent, standardized, portable training for people who work in this field so that they can own it, take pride in it, and it will follow them from one workplace setting to another. They need to earn a living doing what it is they love. And one of the things that we're proposing in 2018 is the creation of some kind of an interim task force or committee or council is probably the last thing we need, is another council. But at some point in time, we have to get serious about looking at the compensation for this workforce. And when we talk about compensation for them, it seems like the only two things we can really think about are minimum wage increases or provider reimbursement increases. And neither of those things have really, I mean, worked.
They haven't moved.
No, they haven't worked.
And as a matter of fact, the legislature last year said you can't raise wages as a county entity or as a city.
Oh, yes, there was that whole controversy.
Yeah, so they rolled back the minimum wage to what it's been for decades.
Yeah. But these people do, I mean, most people who work in direct care, they do make more than minimum wage, thank God. But it's still not enough to keep, lift people up out of poverty and to give them an opportunity to grow within the profession.
Well, we're a business broadcast, so that's what we deal with. And I understand if you own facilities where you care for people and you are dependent on not only private pay but also payment from Medicare or Medicaid, and reimbursement levels have not kept pace with inflation, surely they haven't, to make a profit in whatever business that you happen to be in caregiving, you're going to have to cut someplace. And I would suspect the only places that you can cut, I mean, you can cut food, you can cut, but there's nutritional guidelines from DIA, Department of Inspections and Appeals, but I guess you can cut staffing, but there's requirements from DIA about staffing, sort of. And so what do you do? I would suspect that you can't pay a person a living wage in these jobs because you're going, hey, my profit is here, and you know.
Well, I guess what I would say to that is we may not be, you can't increase the pay, but we can continue to spend out millions and millions of dollars in the turnover costs, you know. And
exactly.
That to me just seems futile. And I think, you know, $200 million a year in turnover of CNAs alone in this state could much better be spent investing in the workforce and bringing some stability to the workforce, which would enhance the quality of care, and everybody would be the better. But if I could just say one other thing from an economic perspective,
yes,
with being a business production here, people in the business community should also be concerned about these issues because they employ people who are family caregivers.
Right.
And businesses lose productivity when their employees have to leave their jobs or take time off in order to care for a loved one because the workforce isn't there to fill those gaps. The issues are so complex and far-reaching.
Well, they're interrelated.
They're very interrelated, and that's why there isn't a simple one kind of solution. It's not just wages. It's not just the education standards, or staffing standards. It's all of those things together that we need to focus on.
Guy Findley, ladies and gentlemen, we're celebrating 25 years of the Iowa Caregivers Association. So this year you're going to be up on Capitol Hill talking to people?
Well, we'll do our best. with what resources we have. And I guess what we would appeal to the legislature is it may be time to bring some of the work that's been done to scale.
Mm-hmm. How important that is.
Yeah.
Di Findley, congratulations on 25 years of serving others. This has always been a very warm spot in my heart. And I'm proud to know you and the work that you've been doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll check out what happened today on Wall Street. What happened with the markets? You would think everybody would be jumping up and saying, yay, yay, because of consumer spending. Not so much. We'll tell you what happened when we come back. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.